All right. Well, thank you. As I mentioned before, I'm really excited about today to share with you about God's Word. This is something that has been on my heart as of late. Now, if you've been here, you see that Pastor Bill has been preaching in Exodus. And he has a series that he's going to continue on for today. We're going to have a pause on that. Right? I don't want to steal his thunder. So I'm going to let him continue next week. But today, I want to spend some time in God's Word about what does it mean to worship, to praise God. What really does the Bible say? How are we supposed to worship as a church? You know, because I believe, unfortunately, today, more than before, you know, I don't know how many of you ever heard from your parents, when I was your age, this is what we did, right? Now, I'm that parent now, right? Now, I'm the one who said that to my kids. You know, but things have changed so much in the last 100 years. The technology has a part of that. You know, now things are more different than ever before. You know, my daughter, Sophia, she's 1.5 years old. And let me tell you something. If you leave your phone, if I leave my phone somewhere or my wife, she goes and she grabs it. And she knows which button to push to turn it on. And next thing you know, you see her with her little finger flicking, doing things in the phone. And she knows what to push. You know, at her age, I was eating dirt somewhere. I had no clue about a phone and had to use it. You see, but that is our kids today. Things have changed. And things have changed in the church. And unfortunately, that type of thing has affected our churches. And when I say our church, I'm not just talking a Milestone. I'm talking our church overall. You know that one of the leading causes of people either leaving the church or churches just splitting, it has to do on how to do church. How do we worship? Because we don't like it. Let's go, and I'm going to ask you to please open your Bibles with me in Isaiah chapter 38, 18 and 19. Now, today we're going to see different verses, mostly on Psalms, but I want to start with this verse, Isaiah 38, chapter 38, verse 18 and 19. It says like this, "For Seol cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down in the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. And we pray that today you can speak to our hearts through your word to see, Lord, what is what you said in your word, how we supposed to worship and praise you. Lord, be with us, speak to our hearts, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Right, one thing that I want to be honest with you, is, and probably you will be a little surprised, is that one thing that I love a lot is music. Right? Probably you see by the way that I play, you said, okay, he's not that good. Yes, I will agree with you. Right? But I love music. It's kind of a passion that I have. I have the opportunity when I was a teenager to be in a church where the pastor was a musician, and he was a good musician. He actually, before he knew Christ, he used to play in a rock band. And he became to know Christ, and one of the things that he was able to do is become friends with Steve Green. For those who may not know him, especially a few years back, he was a very famous Christian singer. Some of you may still know who he is. But he became friends, and he would help him out. He even gave him some of his equipment. When he will not use it anymore and get new equipment, he will send my pastor his old equipment, which was still pretty good, right? He was just trying to keep up with technology, so constantly he will switch all his equipment and send it back to my pastor, and he will have a very nice studio. And he had the opportunity to also have friends with great musicians right there in Mexico. And one of the opportunities that I have and that I love and enjoy and is that I was able to sit a lot of times in the studio. I would not say nothing, but I would just hear these guys play and do music, and I will enjoy it truly. One of the things my memory and I have said so many times, one time I was there sitting, and they were listening to something. Now, these musicians were so good that, I don't know how many of you are familiar, that good musicians, they come and they play their instrument, their part, by themselves. They're recorded just by themselves. And then somebody else comes later on and play their instrument by themselves. And later on, they put everything together, and it sounds amazing. This is how good these guys are, right? And I was sitting there seeing how these guys were putting all these together. To me, it sounds great, and I'm just sitting. And then they're just there, and then one of them says, "Oh, you hear that?" And I'm like, "What?" And they play it again. And everybody else in the room is like, "Oh, yeah, 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 yeah." And I'm like, I don't hear. I mean, to me, everything sounds great. And they went back and forth a couple times with that part of the song, playing it. And I'm like, sounds great. And then basically they knew I was there, so they said, "Oh, the drums, there's a little extra cymbal." Like, are you kidding me? And everybody, and they went and they slowed it down. They had the kind of equipment they have. They slowed it down to the point that you hear the music, and they told me a couple times, "There." And I'm like, "And there." And then finally I got it. I heard this little extra tsst right there. But I tell you, those are some of my greatest memories. I love being there. I love seeing these guys, hearing them play, and to see the talent that they have. That among all the instruments, they will hear this little extra that it took me so long for me to get. And they were so great to help me out, to say, "It's right there, right there, there." And I'm like, again. So I love music. And one of the things that I have been able to learn through the years, and I keep learning, is how are we supposed to worship in church. Let me tell you something. One of the things that I find out here, and I will hope to share with you so we can see, is that worship and the way we praise God in church should not be designed for you. You're like, "What? But what about the music that I like?" That's fine. We need to, I think we as a church, we have a responsibility to keep up and do church different if we have to, without changing the important thing, which is the gospel. But when I see here, the way we do music should not be designed for you or for me, because it's not for us. The way we do music should not be what I like, what I prefer. Again, yes, we all have preference, but that is not the most important thing. You know, and sadly, I think part of the reason is that, especially some years back, I remember, that there were some churches that started doing all about emotions. Right? Everything was so emotional. And they would come and praise and be so loud and praise God. And then go out and do whatever. Their emotions were on it, but their heart was not in it. And then on the other side is those that, "Oh, no, we don't do that, right? We only play organ. That's it. These drums, they don't belong in church. The guitar doesn't belong in church. Nothing. We just, nice. All hymns." Nothing wrong with hymns, by the way. I love hymns. right? But we were on those two streams. And today, even today, that kind of continues on. So today, as we try to answer these questions, so what can or cannot do in, can we do in church? How can we or cannot we worship in church? I would like to share with you 7 words. Oh, you say 7, oh boy. Probably some of you are like, oh, I'm hungry already. No, don't worry, we're going to go through it fast. 7 words that come from the original language that the Bible was written, Hebrew. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a Hebrew expert. I love a lot of times to go back and see what the original word is, because one of the beautiful things of the Bible, and especially in Hebrew, is that there are so many words that for us, it translates as one way, and for them, it's so many different things, right? So a lot of times, I believe in non-translations, we lose a lot of the meaning. So it's good to go back and see exactly what these words mean, right? Like there are several words that for us, all of them translate as praise. So for us, it's one word, and there are 7 different ones, 7 different kinds of praise. What do they mean? So I'm going to share with you real quick. Also, I'm not an expert, so I have a dictionary that kind of helps me. You go back, you can see the different meaning of these words and how it's being used. So I use that a lot to help myself. And also there's another friend that is a musician that also I learned some of these from. But my prayer will be that from this morning, we can start learning to praise God and worship God the right way without being ashamed, without thinking it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't do that here, right? It's not what we're supposed to do in church. We don't raise the hands because no, that is, leave that for those crazy people, right? Hopefully we don't do that. The first word that I'm going to share with you is halal. Halal, and I'm going to invite you to go to the book of Psalms. We're going to do most of our, now from now on, we're going to use the book of Psalms. Just because the book of Psalms is basically a big song book. It's all about a bunch of songs. So a lot of the Bible is full of it, especially the Old Testament, but the book of Psalms especially, there's a lot of this. So we're going to stay on Psalms. On Psalms 22, and before we read Psalms 22, 26, the word halal, it means to celebrate, to praise, to boast, to joy. It's halal, it's to praise somebody for who he is. Now, this is where the word hallelujah comes from. Right? Halal, to praise. Halal and hallelujah. Yah is kind of like a short way to call Yahweh, who is Jehovah. One of the main names of God for the people of Israel. So hallelujah. And by the way, do you know that hallelujah is the only word that it translates the same all over the world? No matter where you go, we all say hallelujah. That is the way we say it in Mexico. That is the way wherever you go, that is one word, hallelujah, to praise him for who he is. But it's a celebration. It's a boast. It's loud. Psalms 22:26 says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise Jehovah that seek after him. I'm going to use a different version. There you go. The afflicted shall eat. This is ESV. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him should praise, should halla the Lord. But you see, what is interesting here, it says, those who seek him should praise him, should celebrate who he is. When we go and we come and we truly in our hearts, we seek for God, our natural reaction should be to praise him for who he is and what he does. It's a boast. It's something that celebrates that you say, this is who he is and I praise him. You know, when we get to heaven, I do believe that it's not going to be all nice and quiet. I believe that it's going to be loud. And I believe that we're going to be raising our hands and we're going to be as loud as we can praise him who he is. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Praise Yahweh. Boast him for what he has done. I think the heaven will not be quiet. You see, there is nothing more beautiful than when we sing out loud, even if we are out of tune. Right? Because let me tell you something. When we sing, it's not for the person next to me or in front of me. I'm praising him for who he is. It's a celebration. This is my God. So he says, those who seek him should praise the Lord, should halal, out loud, boast, celebrate. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to be out loud and say, praise him for who he is. And I hope you understand that I'm not promoting, let's get all crazy here. Right? It's not all emotions. I'm not promoting, let's go to the other side. But we should not be here just like, how great thou art. How great thou art. Right? By the way, I love that hymn. And I love how there's some artists that have it recorded lately. And when they sing it, they really believe how great thou art. And how beautiful it is that we come and sing out loud because we know he is great. It's a boast. It's a celebration. Halal. That's the first word. Second word, yada. Yada, this word appears about 120 times in the Bible. This is an attitude of praise as surrender. Like it's a heart that is surrender. It's praising because I'm surrender myself to who he is. Let's go right there, still on Psalms 138. verse 1 said, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise, Yada. Right? This is an attitude that they say, I give you thanks. My heart is surrendered, and Lord, with my whole heart. This is an attitude of the heart, and says, before all the gods, I will yada. I will praise your name. In an attitude of surrender, of recognizing my condition of a small person before a great God. Yada. It's also translated sometimes a way of raising hands as an act of surrender. So raising hands is okay in church, just so you know. That's what the Bible says. Right? But it's an attitude. Comes from an attitude of the heart. It's not just an emotion. It's raising my hands in act of surrender. You know, a very good example of this is the example of Jacob. And I don't know if you know the story, but he had two wives, right? Rachel and Leah. Now, how many of you know which one of the two did Jacob love more? Rachel. Now, who do you think that the Lord, his descendants come from? You know, it's Leah, not Rachel. Now, just to get back a little bit on the story, you know, this is when Jacob was a little bit tricked by his father-in-law by marrying first Leah, because he said that he wanted to marry his daughter. He said, okay, and he gave him Leah. They said, no, it's the other one. It's Rachel. So then he make him work to then be able to marry his other wife, to his other daughter, Rachel. And then what start happening is Rachel, even though that he was loved, the Bible says that he was loved more by Jacob, she could not bear children. And in that time, that was something that it was really being ashamed of. I mean, I understand that for ladies, it's always something hard if they cannot bear children. But in that point, even you were looked down by society. You might have done something wrong if you could not bear children. So God is punishing you. So Rachel could not bear any children. So Leah started giving children to Jacob. And one of the things that happened is when she had the first children, she said, certainly now God has looked upon me, so now my husband will love me because I gave him a child. And that didn't happen. So she has a second child. And she says, now the Lord has looked upon me, now my husband will love me more. And then the third one came, and she was the same way. This time is the good one, right? My husband will love me. And it didn't happen. But right there in Genesis chapter 29, we see verse 35, it says this. And she conceived again, this is the fourth one, and bore a son and said, this time, you see, this time is different. This time, I will praise Jadah, the Lord. This time, it's not about what I want. This time, it's not my own ideas. This time, I surrender, Lord. I'm done. I'm done with my complaints. I'm done with my things. I'm done thinking that it's all about me. I surrender. This time I will praise the Lord. It's an act of surrender, as to say, God, I'm done. It's been all about me. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. And that is where the name of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, come from. Judah, you see, that is the Lord bless her because of her heart. Because she said, this time I will praise, I will Jadah, I surrender. It's an act of surrender. And I will encourage you that if we sometimes come to God with that attitude, that it's all about me, it's all about me getting what I want, what I think, maybe it's time for us to come to say, Lord, things are not the way I want. And maybe say like she did, this time I will praise the Lord. Al-Jadah, I surrender. Lord, I just At this point, it's your will, it's not mine. Yada. Number three, Barak. It's to bless, of to praise abundantly on my knees. It is an act of surrender to humble myself. Psalms 103, verse 1. It says this, bless the Lord of my soul. That blessed is Barak. And at all that is within me, bless Barak, his holy name. You see, the thing is, when I was telling you, I was a teenager. I was in this church where music was great, but actually, my background as a kid is a church where everything was to the point that if we would raise our hands or clap or do anything like that, you will get the look. Like we don't do that here, right? That is not of God. I never knew where they got that from, but that was the idea, right? Certain instruments did not belong in the church. Clapping did not belong in the church. Raising my hands did not belong in the church. Singing out loud did not belong in the church. And let me tell you, to this day, I'm still struggling, to be honest. Right? Sometimes I'm here and I want to praise God and raise my hands and I'm like, I just feel weird, to be honest with you. I just feel like I should it. Like I want to, but somebody's going to look at me funny. If I clap, right? Somebody's going to give me that look again because we don't do that here. But here is a praise, and it says abundantly. I like that word, you know, because it's continuously. Abundantly on my knees. It's a way of saying, God, I need you. It's the same thing as I'm going to use my daughter again. One of the things that I love the most. Right now she's walking, and she comes walking sometimes, and she comes right to my legs. And she reaches her hands like this. And you know, as you may guess, I cannot resist. I'm not going to say, oh no, hold it. I pick her up. But that is the attitude that God is talking about here. Is when we come to God and say, God, I need you. It's that kind of praise. And it says, he's blessed the Lord of my soul. It's Barak. It's God, I need you. My soul needs you. And sometimes raising our hands is that kind of attitude. Say, God, I'm here. I need you. Now, by the way, if you have never seen, there's a very funny video. A Christian comedian, Tim Hawkins, talks about raising hands in church. So you can go later on. Don't do it now. If somebody start laughing, we're going to see who's watching it. But it's talking about how you raise, you know, your hands. And it's kind of funny. Real funny. How he uses and, you know, say how we raise hands in church. You know, sometimes he said carrying the TV, right? When you are like this. Then carrying the box. Then you're watching Windows. It don't matter how you do it. But it's an attitude of the heart to say, God, here I am. I'm here. I need you. Barak. Number four. Samar. Samar. That is in Psalms 92, verse 1. And again, all these words are multiple times across the Bible, but I'm just using some of them, especially here in the book of Psalms. Psalms 92:1, this is, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises, that is this, the word samar, to praises to your name, O Most High. When it says samar, is to praise, to sing with instruments. See, God likes when we sing with instruments. God likes that. Again, I was told and grew up when I was a kid that certain instruments did not belong to the church. And I sometimes even some of the reasons that I was given is like, well, it's a different culture. Right? We're not like the Israelites, right? We're not like them. And for them, it's okay, not for us. And at first, I kind of like, okay, that is what they say it is. But later on, as I grew up and I started to, again, question on my own and trying to understand, he says, well, if it is true, when do we stop? If we're going to start telling ourselves that certain things in the Bible don't apply because it was cultural, when are we okay? And one is going to be cultural and one is not. Second, I come from the line of the mariachi. And let me tell you, if you never heard a mariachi sing, they're loud. And there's a lot of life in it. So I said, like, okay, viral culture is also a very live culture, right? Where people like salsa and all that. So why is not okay for us to worship God with instruments? But we see here in the Bible that says, samar, praise with musical instruments. You know, one of the things that I love is that some of the best musicians in the world are Christians. That was something that I read years ago. I was trying to find it yesterday. I couldn't. But there's because I did not remember the name, there's a famous guitar player from a rock band and a Christian. And he was asked, what does it feel? I mean, great guitar player. I don't remember who he was. But he was asked, hey, what does it feel to be the best guitar player in the world? And his answer was, I don't know. You need to go ask Phil Keaggy. Phil Keaggy is a Christian guitar player that is missing a couple fingers. But he plays in a way, if once you want, Phil Keaggy, write it down. If you want to go check it on later, you will see the kind of talent that he has. And some of the great musicians in the world are Christians. And I love that because you know what? Music and the instruments, they were created by God. God is the creator of music, not us. And he gave it to us so we can return it to him and praise and worship. So when he gives that, what I love is that we have the best reason to sing and to sing out loud and to get excited. Because we're singing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who deserves it. Samar. Just right there real quick before we move into the next one. Just read with me. This is Psalms 150. This is the end of the Psalms, right? Again, a big song book. And this is like the final thing, the one that it says to finish it all. It says, praise the Lord. Samar. And look all that it says, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings,
guitar, pipes, pressing with sounding cymbals. Sounding cymbals.
Look, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Keith, my brother, you're good.
Bob, we're good.
Yeah, but I know Keith likes to play loud. But God says, praise him with loud cymbals. There's nothing wrong with it. God says, praise him. Samar. God likes that. God creates it. God gives it to us so we can return it to him in worship. Praise him. Samar. It's okay. Now, just so you know, I know for some people that may be too much. The loud. If it's too loud. But again, remember, this should not be designed for me. I know some churches that what they do, they provide some earplugs for some people that think that thing may be too loud. I don't know. Maybe you may think, okay, maybe too loud for me. Just bring some earplugs. But praise him out loud with instruments, some art. With loud cymbals, it says, loud. You see, the guy likes it. God likes it loud. Number five, Shabak. That is to praise, once again, this is praise out loud, with loud voice. It's to sing with conviction. Out loud. You know, like you believe what you sing. Like you're really in it. You know, one of the things that also became a little hard for me to understand sometimes is that things we were told we're not allowed to do what do not belong in church, but then it was okay. Like, we cannot be loud in church, but, you know, we cannot celebrate and be excited. But if we would go to the stadium and watch my team, and if they score a goal, let me tell you, it gets loud, and we get loud. And I never been in a football game here, but in Mexico, in a soccer game, it gets sometimes so loud, you cannot hear nothing. If you're especially on the second floor, people are jumping, and the whole thing moves. And I have been with people that never been there before, and they get scared to death. You know, but some people that come, especially when I was down there, they came from the state, they want to experience, and they come, and our team scores a goal, let me tell you. And they will get like, start grabbing themselves, like, listen, if this goes down, it don't matter what you're grabbing on. You're going down with us. Like, you can grab all you want. This whole thing goes down, we go down. Right? But that is, to me, that was when I started to question myself, is like, what is that okay if we get excited when the Eagles scores a touchdown, but I cannot excited when I'm singing up to God? That is not right, right? Again, we have the best reason. Shabbat. Psalms 145, verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare, Chamak, your mighty acts. Right? He's talking about, he says, one generation is going to tell the next. Let me tell you one thing. We have a responsibility. And one thing that we have said that we want to be as a church is a church that develops what? Another generation. Sometimes we need to pass the baton and say, here goes. It's your turn. But sometimes we don't want to let go. Because what if they do things the way that I don't like it? That is not the way I want to sing in church.
That is not the way I want to do things in church. The way, you see, we go back to in the beginning. When I was your age.
But it says here that one generation should, we should be the ones that teach them how. And sometimes we're the ones that hold them back.
He said, no, 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 we don't do that here. Right?
But it says here, Chabak, you one generation should declare your mighty acts to the next one. Our responsibility is to teach them how to praise God, not to hold them back. Not to tell them that is not the way to do it. You know, my kids will tell you, I love to sing in the car with loud music. As a matter of fact, if you see me sometimes driving around, it's very possible you're going to see me singing out loud. It's just I like it and I love it and I enjoy it. And one of the things that to me was a little funny, but I loved when I went to Mexico a couple weeks ago when my mom passed. I got in the car with my brother, with his kids. Some music came on. And my brother and I start singing out loud. We were enjoying ourselves, and his kid said, oh, you like to sing like my daddy too. Oh, yeah, you guys are brothers. But I love that his kids knew that was his dad, and that I hope my kids know that if they get on the car with me, sometimes they don't understand because I put some Spanish music. But they know I sing out loud. I want my kids to know, and I'm glad that my brother's kids know, listen, when we worship God, we sing. We praise him, Shabbat. Pass the baton to another generation and said, we need to worship God. We should not hold them back, but allow them to say, worship. Number six, almost done. Toda. It's to raise hands with a grateful attitude. It's to raise hands. So what is the difference between toda and jada? Right? One is with a grateful attitude. The other one is in an act of surrender. So what's the difference? One is like this. The other, it doesn't matter. The attitude is in my heart. But it's when we come to the point is to say that we're grateful to God for what he has done, who he is. It's not an emotion. Again, it's not an emotion. It's something that comes from the heart, from a grateful heart. A heart that gives everything. Toda. Just because of time, we're going to keep going. And Tehillah, number seven. Tehillah. And that is to praise, to a praise and a song of joy. It's to express joy by singing. It's almost like that your joy cannot be contained to the point that I have to sing. One of my favorite songs, and I have several, but it's by Philip Craigsdean that says, it's called The Favorite Song of All. And the song says about that God loves the sound of nature and loves the birds singing to him and loves all the sounds of creation singing to him. But he said he raised his hand on silence to hear the voice of one saved by grace singing to him. He said, hey, I want to hear that. A song of joy that comes from my heart. And I love that song because it expressed God's heart to say, hey, I love what you guys sing to me, but I want to hear that. He raised his hand in silence to say, let me see that one saved by grace. Hear him sing to me. Psalms 34:1. Psalms Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, Tehillah, shall continually be in my mouth. You see, something that comes out of my mouth because my praise is to sing when I am so thankful for what has done. I can do nothing else but to sing. It's a response to a grateful heart, a praise, a song of joy. I'm happy. I have joy, the joy that God has put in my heart, and I express it by singing. So let me tell you one thing. When we sing music here, it's not just to kill time. This is not just to fill out a program. This is not just to give out time so we can come later just to the message. This is part of our praise. And my hope, my prayer is that we can come here ready to come and be able to sing and say, I cannot wait but to sing to God. Tehillah, my prayer should be continually in my mouth. I want to sing. I need to be there and sing because I want to praise God. And sometimes I believe that we get to that point of, let's sing a couple songs, so that's okay. That's okay if I get 15, 20 minutes late. All right? That you're singing. It's not, music should not be in our heart, just something to fill out the time. It's for us to praise and express our joy to God. So my prayer as I was sharing this is that we, and not just we, but churches, may come to the point that we can come to praise God the right way. That we may start getting rid of some ideas of this is not what we do in church. See, this is what God says. This is what the Bible says. And we may not like some things, we may not be comfortable with some things, but again, this should not be designed for me. It's designed for Him. And He said that we have to sing with Him out loud, with music, with cymbals, with instruments, raising my hands, an attitude of my heart. We have to sing to Him. And my greatest joy will be that one day, very soon, we can see more people here. Especially some young people. And how great would it be if we start worship God in a better way and in a biblical way. And again, I'm not promoting craziness, please. Right? Just do it in the right way, the way the Bible says we can and should do it. And my heart will be grateful that when we said that we want to develop another generation, that next generation is right here, filling out these pews, worshiping God the right way, that we can start passing the baton. Instead to say, like, no, this is not the way we do it here. This is not the right way. We should be the ones to say, here, let's worship God. We should be the ones to say, this is how we worship God, and we do it with our hearts, we do it out loud, we do it with instruments. And we raise our hands, and we clap if we have to. I know some of us are not that good to it, but hey, they're just clap, don't worry. Because it's not for me, it's for Him. The biblical way of worship. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You because we see in Your word that You love to be praised, that You love for us to sing to You out loud with our hearts, a hearts that are surrendered, hearts that are thankful. And our natural response to that should be to sing to you. Sing with conviction, with joy. Lord, we thank you and I pray that we may become a church that we worship you in the biblical way. Without any issues, without arguing on how, but just the way you tell us we can and should. Lord, we thank you once again for your word. We pray in your name. Amen.